First of all, a very happy Christmas to you. Normally when I say love you, they say love you too. I'm an idealist. I'm also an optimist. When I was younger, I always looked at the world around me and believed that in about 25, 30 years, that the world would be a much better place. I dreamt that one day there would not be wars or nuclear weapons, but there would be no poor people, or at least their lot would improve. That there would be no economic or racial inequalities. That we would have found a cure for cancer. And that the world would be a much more godly place. And those 25, 30 years have passed. And I'm not sure if it's because I'm approaching 50 or because I'm finally coming to terms with reality. My idealism and my optimism are both waning. My hopes of seeing a more egalitarian, peaceful, prosperous, just, and godly world is looking increasingly remote. Violence, religious and state-sponsored terrorism, the threat of wars, racial tension, sexual discrimination, disparity between the super rich and the poor, economic injustice that hard-working middle-class people like you and me endure, bigotry, xenophobia, and atheism are as rampant as it was then, maybe even increased. I'm very sorry that I'm beginning my Christmas homily on such a pessimistic note. Of course, I could have composed a very cute and pretty homily like the church looks this evening. But I've been struggling with the question this Advent, so this is not really a Christmas homily, this is a reflection at the end of Advent. And my question during this Advent season has been, if the world is not bettering itself, or if the world has not bettered itself, then what difference did the first Christmas make? If this world is not a better place because Jesus came to us as the Word made flesh, then what difference did it make? And I struggle with this question because perhaps, as for many of you, Jesus is a big deal for me. I want him to make all the difference in the world. We have gathered here, after all, to celebrate a birth that happened 2,000 years ago. That birth should mean something. Is this gathering and this Christmas relevant? Or is it one more thing we do every year together as a family and then life gets back to normal? What does Christmas 2014 mean? Or for that matter, what does Christmas mean? So the rest of my homily in some ways is an answer to that question, and I have given myself three answers about the meaning of Christmas. First of all, for me, Christmas means a radical commitment to the person of Christ. Now, perhaps most of you know, many of you know, that the actual birth date of Jesus has never been historically determined. We do not know if Jesus was born on the 25th of December. In ancient Rome, 25th of December was the feast of Saturnalia and coincided with the winter solstice festivals. So in many ways, it's after the Roman Empire became Christian and the 25th was decided to be the birth date of Jesus, but we know historically that is inaccurate. And I think it's a good thing. I think the indeterminacy of the date of the birth of Jesus makes Christmas not just limited to one day. Christmas is more about the person of Christ than about the date on which he was born. One of the greatest turnarounds that characterized Pope Francis's papacy is this emphasis on the person of Christ. He wants every Christian to encounter Christ in a personal way. And it's often very easy to equate Christianity, and particularly Catholicism, with a vibrant culture, with rich and long history, with strong traditions and doctrines, as we should be. We should be proud of these things. However, sometimes in the process, it is possible to take our eyes off the person of Christ to whom all these things point. Without Christ, what is the meaning and purpose of everything else we uphold? Even today, isn't it strange that Santa Claus is the brand ambassador for Christmas? How in the world did that happen? And then there's you and me. How can you and I know if Christmas is more than a date on our calendar? Here are a few questions that might help you answer that question. Let me ask you, do you know Jesus more than you knew him last Christmas? Have you grown closer to the person of Christ since last Christmas? Is Jesus influencing your life and decisions today more than he did last year, this time? Folks, December 25th will come and go. But if Christ and Christmas must have meaning, then Christ needs to become central to our lives. Secondly, Christmas means a radical commitment to the teachings of Christ. See, Jesus stood for something far greater than human mind could ever imagine. Jesus came to personally tell us that God cares about us, that we are God's children. And even though he was God, he did not cling to his status, but became like us. This is unimaginable for the human mind, that God must become a human person. But that's not enough. That's not it. He taught us a new way to relate to God. We could call God Father. This is unheard of. And he showed us that we can not only relate to God in a different way, but relate with one another differently. He showed us that there is another way to live. That we do not have to dominate each other or cut each other down. He came to show us that enemies can reconcile and that hatred is a sin. He came to show us that genuine love and humble service are more powerful than our most powerful weapons. He defended the vulnerable. He stood by those on the fringes of society. He refused to do violence and created what I'm calling a revolution of goodness. Think about that for a minute. A revolution of goodness. When we do homage to this little child in a manger, it is this Christ that we uphold, the Christ of the Gospels. And if Christmas must have meaning, then we who call ourselves Christians must stand true to the Christ of the Gospels. Thirdly, Christmas means loving the world as Christ loved the world. This third point takes me back to the beginning of my homily. I said earlier that my idealism and my optimism are waning. But if there's anything that Christ is teaching me this Christmas, it is this: that I cannot give up on the world. Jesus did not come into the world that was perfect. In fact, Jesus came precisely because the world was tainted. But he loved the world enough to live in it and die in it so that he might save it. To celebrate Christmas is to believe that God has not given up on the world and that we cannot give up on the world either. In a very imperfect and violent world that claimed Jesus' life, we are being called to continue his work. So I'm suggesting to each one of us, we must continue his revolution of goodness. So let us set aside our guns. Let us control our tongue and curb our greed. Let us be peace. And let it begin with me. Like Christ, it is better to give our lives than take another one. It is better to give the shirt of our back rather than hoard it. It is better to love unconditionally than hate some people. It is better to choose the narrow path than the broad one. It is better to forgive rather than let hatred, prejudice, and revenge dominate our lives. It is better to pray for those we have trouble getting along with rather than curse them. It is better not to judge so that we ourselves may not be judged. It is better to store treasures in heaven than on earth. So I'm inviting you this Christmas to create a revolution of goodness, not only today, but in the new year to come. And do it, even if you are the only person who's doing it. Do it even if you're alone. After all, one birth, one death, one person on the cross transformed the history of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is Christmas. as you and I participate in the Eucharist today, the bread and wine is brought forward and laid on the altar, and as we believe that the bread becomes the Word made flesh. And as we receive communion, may we share in the revolution of goodness that Jesus started. And may the world be a better place because you and I have joined hands with Christ in this revolution of goodness. People of God said,